It might have had something to do with residual instincts left over from his days in the intelligence community, but Chuck Bushy was convinced that the break-ins were the work of an international espionage ring, with malicious West German computer hackers feeding valuable digital programs to the East Bloc. Bushy was Digital's top cop, and he had a cop's way of thinking. Once, he had gone to a morning appointment at a remote Digital office 2 hours early to test security by confronting guards at all the doors. But Bushy was unschooled when it came to technical matters, and the subtle points of computer penetration that a computer security expert might find significant tended to mystify him. His suspicions arose in part from the fact that he had recently received intimations of shady doings on the part of the Chaos Computer Club, and partly because some of the phone traces went back to network nodes close to East Bloc borders. Another piece of evidence led to Karlsruhe, West Germany, which Digital officials knew to be a hotbed of Chaos Computer Club activity, and to a university student who had spent the previous summer working at Digital in Palo Alto. While at Digital, the student had spent much of his time in front of the photocopier. Moreover, the German student was the only person who knew the location of Brian Reed's password-cracking software, which the intruders stole from a Palo Alto computer. By this time, it seemed that the Digital security forces were building up a strong case for the existence of an international conspiracy. In early November, Bushy met with Mark Rash, a young attorney from the Justice Department who had developed an expertise in computer crime. Bushy told Rash about the months of fruitless investigation and false starts with no suspect. When Bushy posited his international conspiracy theory, Rash found it very plausible. A tough-minded 30-year-old New Yorker who had gone straight to the Justice Department from law school, Rash had become proficient at investigating high-tech crimes. His first position was in the department's Internal Security Division, and his early cases had included an investigation into the unlawful export of VAX computers to Eastern Bloc countries. His practice was to assume the worst. Presented with a set of brazen, systematic, electronic break-ins aimed at the heart of Digital's software development efforts, his inclination was to assume it was espionage until proven otherwise. It was a busy week for Rash. While meeting with Bushy, he received word that a computer virus had infected the Internet the previous evening, crippling thousands of computers around the nation. Mike Gibbons, an FBI special agent in the Washington field office, tracked Rash down at the Digital offices that morning to tell him he had already opened an investigation into the Internet virus. As Rash was hearing the reports, there were still no leads on who had written the virus. Rash saw no apparent link between Digital's troubles and this new computer virus, but he couldn't rule one out entirely. One of the virus's targets was VAX computers. The Palo Alto scientists were beginning to disagree with Bushy. By November, they had been monitoring the intruders' activities for months. This was not international espionage at work, they decided. First of all, the passwords that the intruders made up when they created accounts for themselves, words like spymaster and spoofmaster, were in consistently flawless American vernacular. Second, it was widely known that the Soviets already had both VMS and Unix and wouldn't need to steal them. Moreover, if they did need to steal an updated version, it was more than likely that among Digital's 120,000 employees, or among those few customers with source code, there was at least one Russian operative who had already taken home everything he needed. It just wasn't necessary to go through all the effort that the intruders undertook. Brian Reed, the Palo Alto office's resident computer security expert, believed that in all likelihood this was a game being played by some ne'er-do-well somewhere who slept into the afternoon, got up, ate some breakfast, and sat down at his home computer at 3 in the afternoon for a long day of hacking. After a hard day at the office breaking into computers, he—experience had taught Reed that it was inevitably male—would knock off around midnight, meet some fellow hackers for pizza, and go to bed around 3 in the morning. Not only did those hours correspond directly to the hours during which the break-ins took place, but Reed had spent enough time around the computer underground to know its mindset. In the 10 years Reed had taught at Stanford, he had been involved in network security, had met several such cyberpunks, and had sparred with dozens of them inside the Stanford computers. Both Reed and Vixie were impressed with the technical skill displayed by this one, but they argued that anyone with a modicum of talent and 10 hours a day to devote to the problem could probably do the same thing. The one piece of evidence in favor of Bushy's international conspiracy theory was that the intrusions were so energetic they had to be the work of at least two people. A tag team, perhaps. If these were truly bored teenagers, on the other hand, then there was also in them something of the network cowboy. Out on the nets, having a good time roping computers like so many steer. Just out to see how many network nodes they could lasso in a night. Witnessing the frenetic activity every day was a little like watching a movie with the sound turned off. Reed didn't get to hear the whooping with each vanquished system, but he could imagine it well.